Please do be seated. And I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes. Now, there's an interesting book, one that it's sometimes difficult to find. But I always think the writer of Ecclesiastes would have fitted in particularly well here, because as you read the book, it's quite clear that the writer is somewhat sceptical of some of the structures that surround the worship and the life of the times, and is somewhat sceptical even of some of the perceived wisdom that comes out of Israel and Judah. So it's an interesting book. You may recall about 10 or 15 years ago, maybe even longer, there was a book published called The Bible Code. Do you remember that? And there's been several revisions of it since, as you know, times have moved on and things didn't quite happen as perhaps they were expected. But it worked on the basis that if you put a piece of text on a piece of paper and you counted off a various number of letters, you know, if you counted every 15th letter, then you got word, you know, a jumble of letters that could make words that would predict what was going to happen. Bizarre. But there we are, letter sequencing. But I'm always surprised that people who were looking at the Bible code didn't look at the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, you may recall, I think it was a number of years ago, we looked at some psalms and looked at the structure of the psalms. Do you remember we had it up on there, chiastic psalms, where you can structure the verses so that you can see what's the central point that the psalmist is trying to make and how are they structured. And Ecclesiastes is a very, very structured book. Now, we know that one of the words that comes in there quite often is vanity. Yeah, we had that read lots of times this morning. And if you look at that little phrase, it shows that separates the book of Ecclesiastes into two sections, each of 111 verses, each. Very, very accurate, 111. Now, there's a question here for the mathematicians. And I have to tell you, Lawrence Wyatt at the 8:30 got it in a few seconds. No pressure. What are two factors of 111? Three and 37. Three 37s are 111. Disappointingly slow. Or Lawrence is surprisingly good. 3 and 37. Now, in Hebrew, as you know, you can write characters down for numbers and you get words, like you can with Roman numerals. And one of the representations of 37 is the Hebrew word hebel. What does hebel mean? Vanity. So even in the structure of the book, you can see the writer is talking about the things that are transient. And if it occurs three times in 111 verses, it occurs six times in 222. It's a vanity of vanities. 37 times through the whole book, but you can see it six times in those 222 verses. It's not quite the heavenly, it's the earthly. And what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying in all of that, and we shouldn't get too tied up with all these codes and all these, the way it is structured, but it is a beautifully structured book. What the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying is, don't get consumed with the things of today's world. Don't get consumed in just going after greed and pursuing wealth and happiness for its own right. Don't be a workaholic. Live each day to the full. Live each day that God has given. But don't get concerned about the future. And if you like, that's the sense that Jesus picks up in the gospel reading about the pursuit of greed. We know that A man comes to him and says, Jesus, will you settle the dispute? You know, tell my brother to give me a bit more. And Jesus says, who asked me to set me above you and judge you and all of this kind of stuff? And then he tells his story about the farmer, about setting up his barns. And it's very interesting that Jesus talks about greed through that story. And greed is one of the things that is often levied against false teachers. So you can imagine the people who are hearing thinking, this is good, he's having a go at some of the false teachers and he's having a go about being greedy. And he talks about the greed. And if you look at the passage, the farmer there talks an awful lot about I and my. And it's very, very self-centered. Probably one of the most self-centered little bits of the Bible. And Jesus says, we should not just seek after greed and material possessions, because that gets in the way of our relationship with God. And you can imagine the hearers thinking that, hearing that, and nodding and saying, yeah, that's right, you tell them, Jesus. And then just as in the book of Ecclesiastes, Jesus then goes on and says, because ultimately, whatever we've amassed, we all go on and die. And in a flash, Jesus has turned it round from just being teaching on greed to, so if we all die, then what is the meaning of life for all of the hearers? What is life all about? Because it's not about what we possess. It's about what possesses us. What is at the very centre of our lives, day by day, week by week? Is it the pursuit of happiness? Is it the pursuit of wealth, of career? Or is it God? Because ultimately, our Christian faith doesn't depend on being able to decipher Hebrew codes. It doesn't depend on our knowledge of Hebrew and Jewish law. It doesn't depend on our understanding of theology, thankfully. What our Christian faith is based on is what is at the centre of our lives. Is it Christ? Or is it something or someone else? And that was the question that Jesus left the hearers with as he carried on his way to Jerusalem. Amen.